Hey, everybody, and welcome to Indie Corner Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I have an awesome guest here, Jason Allen Cook. How are you doing, Jason?
Doing good. How are you doing, Jonathan?
Well, I was going to call you either Jason A. Cook or Jason Allen Cook, but like, I guess both works, right? Like you kind of...
Either works.
Yeah. IMDb, was there a reason that you kind of have it as Jason Allen or you just...
I do, yeah. So there's actual Jason Cook who's been around for a while. He's been on like, I think, Days of Our Lives, I saw. So he's a relatively big actor, I think, at least he was. So he kind of takes over all of IMDb. So I had to put my middle name in there as well.
Nice. Yeah, that generally happens. Or sometimes people just create a whole new name, you know, or whatever, you know, like when they first start out or whatever.
The stage name, yeah. I wasn't really into that, so.
Well, I mean, you know, you got a cool name. I mean, you might as well go with Jason A. Cook or whatnot. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So first of all, I kind of want to know a little bit of background on you. Like, how did you get into acting? Was it like a passion of yours growing up, or did you get into it later in life? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I got back into it later in life, really. So I actually was an actor when I was maybe like 4 or 5 months old. So I was a baby in an American Express commercial. So I kind of grew up with that knowledge, and you know, my parents saved the money for me and started a college fund with it.
Did you ever find that commercial, and have you ever posted it?
I wish.
It's not on YouTube. You can't find it.
I've searched, but I don't know what year it was exactly. And I mean, just
whatever year you were 4 or 5 months old, you know, probably close to your birth, you know.
You think they have stuff on YouTube that old? So
yeah, dude. Oh my God. Holy cow. Stuff like that is gold. Like if I find it, I'm posting it.
If you find it, I owe you big time.
Yeah. All right. So you're getting into when you're 4 or 5 years old, your parents throw you in this American Express commercial. And, you know, like, I mean, did you like later on realize, like, you know what I mean? Like, did your parents talk about that? Like, what became like your next step?
So, I mean, they mentioned it, and there's like the college fund. There's like, hey, you were in this commercial when you're a kid, but we never saw it. We don't know what happened to it. So I was like, yeah, whatever. It's cool. But I've never really, like, throughout college and high school, I was never, you know, in drama club or anything like that. I was kind of more of a jock and jock and a nerd, basically. I kind of hang out with all the kids. But really, it wasn't until about 6 years ago I got back into acting.
Really? 6 years ago?
It was only 6 years ago.
Yeah. So what got you back in there?
Strangely, we were watching the movie Entourage after it came out, and I was like, that'd be cool as heck to be an extra. So after that movie, I just kind of searched online, and I found that they were filming this movie Imperium in Richmond area.
Oh, yeah. I have a story for that, but like, go ahead. So you were in Imperium?
Yeah, so I have a story for it too. So I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I was a little baby when I was last on set. So I got on set, you know, I was just an extra, got bumped up to, I got a union voucher. So I was like, cool, I get like a lot more money. And then I was in this scene with Daniel Radcliffe. So they kept us on set for quite a while, and it was like 6 hours, and us and a couple extras were just kind of sitting there, you know, chatting with Daniel Radcliffe. He's one of the coolest actors I've ever met. You know, I've met a few now, relatively famous actors, and you know, he's a pretty big one, but he's really down to earth and just kind of like a cool guy to just sit there and, you know, BS with. So from then on, I got a little acting bug. So I did a couple more extra, little bit of extra work. I did some featured roles. I was featured in this movie Loving.
I have that actually on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it or anything. I buy a lot of movies I don't end up actually watching or whatever. But I got it from like the Williamsburg Library. I had a copy of it or whatever on Blu-ray for free. Like, it wasn't free, but it was like $1 or whatever it was, like $2, whatever the like Blu-rays are for sale there, which is pretty cheap. you know, and I was really happy to get it because I did know it was a local film.
So, yeah, it was a really good movie. I liked it, and it was a real good experience as well. So just in one small scene, they're interviewing the characters of the Lovings, and I was in the scene as like the sound man, kind of there doing the audio for their interview. But then from then on, I kind of started, I got an agent, and then I started doing local commercials, then obviously a lot of indie films. So do indie films, some television shows and commercials. Did some print work before. And one of the weird things I've done is I did a bit of hand modeling. So that's kind of fun. It's interesting. So.
All right. Well, yeah. So do you just put your hands down? Is that?
Well, in one of them, I had to swipe. So I never realized that I was swiping wrong. So it was an Experia commercial on one of their apps. So, you know, I had to swipe this way. Oh, no, you're doing too fast. Wait, slower. Oh, you're doing too slow. Do it this. It was interesting to learn how to swipe for camera.
Well, you said you were doing it wrong, like because they were telling you you're doing it too fast, or?
Yeah, you know how they give, you know, directors give set direction, but you don't think about that when you're just, you know, on it, on your.
Well, you think like, oh, I'm going to swipe. I'm going to just swipe the normal way. I'm not gonna, yeah. You know, but that's cool.
I did a Wawa commercial where I just had to hold a cup. So that was like one of the coolest days on set. It's like, hold a cup here. There's no face or anything. It's just hold a cup here, hold a cup here.
I honestly, as an actor, I prefer to like be on camera, you know, like I mean, it would be cool to be like, hey, that's my hand. But like, I just watched a movie or I watched a trailer to a Lifetime movie I'm in, and you could just see the back of my head. And that's it. And I was like, there's my head.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, it's kind of a cool thing, but in the same sense, it's like, damn, I wish like I had been facing the other way, like the girl was, of course. She's a little bit more attractive than I am. So because they're that's why they probably picked that. But like, you know, I think I'm in another scene. But anyway, the point was like, I was like, damn, because I knew when they had me facing that way, I was not going to be seen on camera. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, such a shame. But, oh, yeah. You know, but when you're doing like a hand job. Oh.
You can raise that one.
I did not mean that.
I haven't done that acting yet. Sorry.
You didn't call it that, did you? You didn't.
No.
Might have to edit this out. I don't know. Actually, I won't.
Actually, it's good comic relief for it. Yeah,
for a year right there. I don't know how to call it now.
Hand modeling.
Hand modeling.
Yes.
Career. But yeah, no, it was amazing. You didn't call it that when you first started. I'm surprised. I really do want to edit this down a little bit because me laughing too much, I don't know.
Composure.
All right, composure. All right.
No more hand jobs here.
I was just getting to a place where I was forgetting it. All right. Hold on. Let me take a sip of my tea. Damn. Woo. Yeah. So your hand modeling job, you did not call it that, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're like hand gigs. Modeling.
They're gigs. So gig is a good word.
Hand gigs.
Mm-hmm. So much better.
I don't know if that's going to become a sexual term at some point or not either, you know, like they're going to be tired of calling it jobs. They're going to be like hand gigs.
It may be now. Thanks
yeah.
to you.
Yeah. I might be the trendsetter there. Oh boy. Oh Lord. I was not expecting this at all. Like, okay. That went completely where I was not expecting it to go. All right. Oh, anyway, moving on. So yeah, you do these hand modeling gigs, and then, god damn, Where is this going to end, dude? Stop laughing.
Let's get back to the acting, not the hands.
I know. Let's go back to the acting. All right. So acting. So, yeah. So, did you do a lot of theater at all?
No, I only did one play. It's like 4 or 5 years ago. I did a Phantom of the Opera. I just one night only at the Bird in Richmond.
Oh, nice. I mean, that's also a really cool thing to say. Like, I played at the Bird, you know?
Yeah. It was pretty cool. It was a lot of work for one night. I mean, there's a lot of rehearsals, a lot more than when you're, you know, on camera for that one night. And if you screw up, you don't get a cut and redo. That's it. So,
yep.
It was a great experience, but I really enjoy being on film a lot more than doing theater.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's a different beast. I mean, you say the stuff about, if you mess up, like, you know, that's it, right? Like, there's no, like, can we do this over again? Or can we get another take on that? Like, it's literally, you messed up. Okay, keep going. Push through it or whatever. If you start talking about this stuff and start laughing, I mean, I don't know what would, the play's over then.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, okay, I can't take this guy like laughing for like 2 hours. Yeah. You know?
Now that I remember, there was like a lot of, in the lead up, there's a lot of rehearsal up till like half hour before showtime. People were coming in and we were still trying to, because we didn't have a lot of access to the Bird since they were open at the time, showing movies and stuff. So we had done rehearsals in other venues, but not there. So we had to do a little bit more blocking and stuff. And right up to showtime, we were working on it. And you know, I thought it turned out pretty well. So, remembered all my lines. I didn't have any issues, so it worked.
You weren't like booed off the stage, or like people didn't throw like fruit at you.
No rotten eggs or tomatoes, anything like that.
Tomatoes, like I'm wondering, man. Tomatoes seem like they would hurt if people threw them at you. Like people say, oh, you know, they used to throw tomatoes at people when they were on the stage. I'm like, oh my god, that would just feel like, you know, like hell. Like,
I got some tough skin, so yeah, that hurt a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
sting.
Especially like if you didn't do anything really wrong, you just person did not like what you were doing. People didn't like you, then they could just throw shit at you.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I guess that was one interesting part about it, is you get the instant reaction. Whereas if you're, you know, in film, you don't get that instant feedback.
Definitely. So like after that, you said you did a lot of like indie films and stuff. And right before our show, I mentioned one specific one I need to talk about. I need to talk about the Bigfoot movie you did. It's called Bigfoot Path of the Beast. Oh, it's on Tubi.
The Tubi and Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah. So you played the Bigfoot researcher, Frank. So you had a name and everything. So
yeah.
What was your role in that?
So a lot of my stuff is smaller roles due to time commitments, but I was in a scene early on in the movie where it's kind of like a town hall meeting, and so I'm one of the there's three researchers that are kind of trying to explain Bigfoot, ask about sightings, stuff like that, and we're up there just kind of talking about Sasquatch or Bigfoot, and it's kind of interrupted by the main character whose wife or girlfriend he thinks was taken by Bigfoot. So it's all mad as we're trying to just explain, saying, you know, Bigfoot's they're docile, they don't hurt anybody, and he's sitting there getting all irate, saying he killed my wife, kind of thing. So because in the first part of the movie, that was an interesting movie, but it's a good little watch. Another one that's not quite available, it's coming out, that I'm really interested in is it's called Necropolis.
That's I heard of it. Yeah,
horror movie. Yeah.
Is it like a zombie movie or something?
It is, yeah. I've always wanted to be in a zombie movie. So Bigfoot's cool, but I do love some zombies. So
wait, are you a zombie in it?
Not in the scenes I'm in, no.
Okay. Wait, do you turn into one or?
I can't give away too much, but so I'm an officer looking at a break-in in a business. So alarm tripped, something like that. You go in, it's kind of all creepy in there, and I'm, you know, talking to dispatch, taking a look around, and I think it's going to come out later this week, so you have to find out what happens to me. But
is it going to be on I guess video on demand, or like where will people be able to see it most likely?
I don't know their distribution right now, so I'm sure that they'll get some kind of DVD distribution. I don't know, maybe some of the films that I do are like just, you know, Walmart distribution, Amazon, stuff like that, where you can either buy the DVD or get streaming. So it should be out, I think, later this year. I know they're shooting for this fall, but I'm just interested to see how that one, the whole story kind of pans out.
Well, you've been in I noticed you've been in like a ton of like TV, you know, television, and Virginia is like very well known for like, you know, Wicked Attractions and Legends and Lies and, you know, which you were a part mm-hmm. of. Yeah. And you're in Coney Island. I think that was a pilot, if I'm correct.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. Cause I know one of the guys that produced it, Aaron Jackson. So, fantastic. And then, have you done, any of like the Wicked Attraction or any of Ice Cold Killers. Okay. You run that too.
I did a Haunting. So that's a Virginia produced one, New Dominion Pictures down in, Suffolk.
Oh, cool. I do. I like a Haunting. A lot of my friends have been in the Haunting, you know, a Haunting. Yep. So I think that's really cool. Are they available? Like, I wonder if they're on Discovery Plus, you know?
I think they are. I know my episode is still rerun on Travel Channel here and there.
That's awesome.
I think it came out in 2019. But my episode, I was the lead character in episode called Norman the Doll. It's a little bit different than a lot of the Haunting ones because it's an actual manifested possession of a doll, this little haunted doll, basically, creeping this dude out. And I really liked filming that one. There's a lot of different emotions now in that that role. One of my favorite ones is where the doll, we're fighting with this doll. He keeps causing all this weird stuff happens. So I'm like, screw it. I'm going to package him up and send him off. I found this lady to buy him. And lo and behold, guess what? He comes back, return to sender. The box comes back. And so I get really irate in this scene and kind of rip open the box. And I don't want to give too much away, but I rip open the box. I get really, really mad. And I'm like sitting there strangling this little possessed doll, just like screaming. I was like, why are you doing this to us? Leave it alone! Why are you doing this? I'm like screaming my head off. And I like, actually in the scene, I almost have a heart attack. The doll like gets me so upset that I feel like I'm having a heart attack. So I kind of go down and that was one of the more difficult scenes that I've had to film because, faking a heart attack is kind of hard. And actually, after a couple of takes, my chest started feeling weird. So it was kind of freaking me out because I was like, I'm not having a heart attack, but I'm really...
You're feeling like you are.
I'm method acting this thing to where I'm feeling kind of weird. And like the lead actress like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, fine. She's like, and she almost started crying because she was like...
Was that Amberlee, by the way? Because I saw that she was in it too. Amberlee Calvert.
No, so that one was Jennifer Pyle.
Oh, okay.
They're leading that one.
Okay.
Sorry for screaming at you there, but I just kind of...
No. So you give us a taste of your acting right there.
Well, I don't know. That wasn't quite like what I did on set. So obviously the set's a lot more...
A little intense.
Then, yeah. Yeah. But
So I have to ask about that. Like, you just mentioned that you... method acted that particular scene. Are you a method actor or, you know, whatnot?
Yeah, I am not. So I'm not really a method actor. I mean, that I kind of felt like in that particular instance I was, because I brought, you know, it was a couple of days on set and I got really into the role. I started feeling it then. But a lot of times with my acting, I just rehearse the lines beforehand. A lot of times with no real set emotion. I just need to know that I need to know the lines really well. And when I get on set, the director is going to tell me what emotion they want. You know, unless they tell beforehand.
Right.
So I don't really, you know, once I get on set, I like get in the zone. So then I'm like in this focus. And even if I mess up the lines, I think even when I was on set with you a couple of months ago, sometimes I stumble over the lines. But when I get on camera, I like get in the zone and it's just like super focused. And I usually don't have any problems with the lines or the emotions. So,
you know, when I first met you, when we first worked on Follow Me, the short film that we worked on, yeah, I'm very glad you weren't a method actor. That would have confused the fuck out of me, because that character, that character was so weird that it just would have, like, if you were that character like the whole time, I would have been like, all right, I guess doing this, you know, because I'm an actor. I'm an actor. I know, you know, like some directors probably would be like that, but I know, I like, you know, what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, I know you're not. Well, actually, to be honest, that was the first time we met, so I might have been like, this guy's a little weird. I mean, you know, maybe.
Well, I mean, maybe still I am, but that's all right.
Yeah, I'd be like, maybe this is really what he's like. I don't know. You know, but I mean, as long as you, to me, honestly, as a director, as long as the actor is doing what they need to do, you know, I don't care how they get there, you know, as long as, you know, and I love that you kind of mentioned that you let the director like tell you the emotion, because so many people don't allow the director to do that. So many actors think that they just know that character better than the director or the writer or the producers or anybody else, and they will not let anybody tell them how else to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets really difficult sometimes when you're dealing with certain actors, because they just won't let you, you know, basically tell them, okay, this is how I want you to do it, you know, whatever. Like, I don't go play by play, as you know. Like, I don't tell you,
right,
you know, like, this is how I want you to say this exactly. I think the last shoot we had, I did sort of tell you sort of something specific I wanted you to do that was just in my head, and you did it. So I was like, okay, let's, you know, let's move on, you know? So that's always wonderful when a director has something specific in mind and can give the actor, but some of the time that a director doesn't have a clue what they're doing, you know, especially on indie sets, you know, they think it's okay to just play with the camera, but when it comes to actors, they kind of let the actors just act, you know, or whatever. Have you had that happen before where you're just kind of like, you had to kind of fend for yourself?
Not too much, no. I think there's always been pretty good direction on the sets that I've had. I mean, don't get me wrong. I go in with an idea of what I want, you know, what I think I would be portraying. But early on, I learned that that isn't always the case. So when I go in with a certain emotion and director's like, no, I need to back that down. You know, this is going to be much more nuanced. Something like that. I learned that, you know, I kind of have it in my head what I want to, but really I want to get, you know, basically just be prepared, and then whatever the director wants, I can certainly take a good direction and mix it up or whatever. So I do go in with some idea of what I think the scene's about, but like I said, oftentimes that's changed to whatever the director wants, and as long as the director's happy, I'm happy.
That's good. You know, that's the way to be, you know. It should. Unfortunately, not all the time, but you know, there's always gonna be actors, period, that are different from other actors, you know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not gonna have the same roles and same thing as like I don't know, Leonardo DiCaprio or whatever. You just, you know, you might go for them for the same roles or try to, you know, or whatever, but you're just, you know, there's just a you know, it's a different person, you know, and the director kind of wants to, you know, wants to pick the right person for that specific role. Have you ever like auditioned for something and you're really devastated that you didn't get it?
I mean, I audition quite a few times, you know, I audition a lot. So that's part of the job. There's been some parts that I have an NDA for it. There's so many NDAs that I signed to, so it's just hard to remember. There's been ones that I've auditioned for and I was excited about the role and I got an email as, you know, or Ego Cast that I was in consideration for the role, which makes you even more excited. But I didn't get it. But there's no particular one because there's been several where you're kind of at the next level, you're in consideration, it's the top couple, and I haven't gotten some of those. So,
well, that's a pain. Well, I mean, it's understandable because, I mean, like I said earlier, like sometimes you're just not exactly right for the role, you know, like there might be just somebody else that just beats you by like even that little bit of a point.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sucks, you know, as an actor.
One of the casting directors I've taken some workshops with, he said oftentimes it's not even an audition or anything. It's your hair color, you're too tall, you're too short, you're too thin, too fat, whatever. It's all something physically that I think a mental image that the director had in their mind for this role, and you don't quite fit it. You know, you may have done a fine audition. It's just you weren't that image that they had in their head. So it's just basically better luck next time.
Right. And I love that. Like, I love that you say that because there was I remember seeing an interview with Rob Zombie interviewed Danielle Harris once. I don't know if you know who Danielle Harris is, but she's a kind of big time horror actress, but she's been in a lot of other stuff. And so she was talking about how it sucks. Like she hates doing, she would rather do taped auditions than in person because in person people can see how tall you are, you know, and stuff. And so a lot of times she won't get the role because she's too short, but she'll be like, look, I can wear lifts. I can do whatever, you know, I need to for this role. Like if I'm right for it, pick me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of directors kind of do that where they're like, nope, she's too short or he's too tall or he, you know what I mean? Whatever. And they decide not to cast those people who might actually be really good if you just let them, you know, let them do that or whatever, let mm-hmm. them be their height that they are. I think that's the thing. I mean, I guess it just depends on the character and whatnot for it.
I do love the self-tape as well. So I'm guilty of that as well. I'm much more comfortable doing the self-tape because you can go and redo it. I mean, just like on set, if you don't not happy with it, you go and redo it.
I know that. I did one self-tape, like, I guarantee, like 20 times, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just to get, like, I think it was two different versions, and I did both times 10 times, just kept fucking up. And I was like, I'm so glad I'm not there in person because, like, mm-hmm. are there in person, I would have, well, I don't know. I don't know what I would have done. You know, you just don't know. But I'm pretty sure if I fucked up 10 times on, you know, on a camera thing, I wouldn't have done good. And I didn't get the role. And you know, I wasn't upset about it because it was like my first time, like, self-taping for a long, you know, in a while, you know? So I was like, you know, this will just give me some experience doing it again.
You can't get upset over any of these roles I found, so... You get some, you don't get some, so that's kind of the name of the game. But I mean, I don't think there's really too many though. There's the ones you can really want and you know, be really into, but if you don't get it, you just kind of rush it off and move on to the next one. So that's what you got to do. But I've done like cold reads and those are the worst when you're given the, you know, basically you're walking into the room with director and the producer and you're handed the sides right there and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, trying to figure out what even to say and make sure that you get it out right, let alone what emotion you want to portray. So
you have to memorize it then too, right?
Cold read, you can't really. I mean, sometimes you're given it beforehand, like 10 minutes beforehand, and you're given the sides and some of them, I mean, if it's a speech, how the heck are you gonna memorize that? So
yeah.
Usually you're still reading it and you know, I get too focused on trying to read it because it's all brand new and get the words out. And sometimes I lose focus on the emotion for cold reads. So those are to me the most difficult.
Are you good at like memorizing?
Not right off the bat. So we've been on set, you give a little, line here or there, some, kind of change the script a little bit. I'm fine with that. But really for memorizing, per scene, I go over the scene like 1,000 times in my head, go over the words. So it comes out much more naturally that way for me. But it does take a lot of rehearsal in my head to get the script right.
Especially if you have like a lot of lines, you know, and, mm-hmm. and you have to know like exactly when like the other person is done talking, you know, or like, I know an actor, I'm not going to say who it is, but he has cue cards, you know, right. And he has the cue cards and he has these specific cue cards for when like specific people are speaking before him, you know, like 3 or 4 people might be talking before him, before his line. So there might be 3 lines before his next line. So he has like certain things and, you know, like number 4, you know, or whatever. And I mean, God bless him. He's an older actor. He can't memorize the lines, you know, necessarily. Plus he does like 1,000,000 movies. I'm sure some people will be like, I know who that is, but I'm not going to say names, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. Out of privacy. But yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful thing where if you can memorize those lines, you can get them down. Perfect. If you fuck up, you fuck up, you know, that's the name of the game. I mean, hopefully you don't fuck up. Like you've seen that movie Disaster Artist. I don't know if you've seen that movie or not, but the dude like fucks up like, James Franco's character like fucks up like I think it was like 30 or 40 times, you know, say one line, you know.
Dang.
Right. And everybody else had it memorized before he did, you know. Like it was,
I've seen that.
It's a good movie. It's on Netflix. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's why I like film as well, is because I can compartmentalize it per scene. So when I know when it's, you know, it's per scene, so I know when the action's going to be and when I know when the cut's going to be, so I can kind of compartmentalize that in my brain is kind of how it works. And so I know that scene really well, and that's why I like film a lot better than theater as well, because you need to know the basically entire script except for, you know, intermission or something like that. But I can compartmentalize, you know, this scene right here, these lines, this back and forth cut, and then I got the next one. You know, usually there's a few scenes you shoot per day, but then I can kind of compartmentalize this emotion, this back and forth at this scene, we're done. And then I can move on to the next. And that really helps me memorize the lines as well, even though I go over and over the scene again. But that kind of really helps me kind of basic blocking this certain part of the.
Well, it's also gotta be tough sometimes because you don't, a lot of indie films or even TV, you know, you don't get like rehearsals. You know, it's not like it used to be where you go in and you'd have like a table read a lot of times, then you'd have your like actual rehearsals and you get paid for those. And then you would get, you know, do the next rehearsal and then until you got it or whatever, then the next, you know, then you start shooting and then you're, you know, sort of know it. It's not like that anymore.
Well, I've done a couple, one of them, like I mentioned, Necropolis. So that was a Zoom rehearsal. So get the actors on and we did it that way. So that kind of helps. We did a couple of times. It wasn't really intensive, but the Zoom, I mean, this format really helps to be able to, even though you don't really have that interaction like you do on set, where you don't really develop that, you know, interaction between characters, it still kind of helps you with the pacing and stuff like that. So that helps a bit, you know, the digital you're doing this kind of stuff. So but yeah, I don't think that there's a whole lot, unless there's a real big budget ones where there's like days of rehearsal beforehand. Oftentimes it's usually, you know, like we do on set when I'm with you, we rehearse it right before we shoot, basically.
Yeah, we just go over everything right before we shoot, like blocking and all that fun stuff. So I wanted, like, right before we end this, I wanted to ask, like, do you have any specific projects that you didn't get the chance to mention? I know you mentioned Necropolis is coming out, but is there anything else that you didn't get to share?
So I have some others, like a lot of the upcoming stuff has been stalled because of COVID. So I haven't seen when they've rescheduled the shooting. There's another couple of projects I was in recently that, because of NDAs, I can't really discuss too much, unfortunately, but one I'm pretty excited about, did last weekend, Sunset, a little over a week ago. So there's some good stuff coming out. Another one is this film called Union. I shot it during COVID last June 2020. I went over to West Virginia and I have a role in it, a couple of days on set. So that looks like an interesting one. There's a trailer out right now on IMDb. Unfortunately, I didn't make the trailer for this one, but it should be an interesting one. The director, he's a relatively well-known actor. He's been in a lot of different television series and stuff like that. But it looks pretty good by the trailer, so I'm kind of excited to see how that one turns out. And then, yeah, I mean, just more commercial work, dealerships, law firms, stuff like that. So other stuff coming out here pretty soon.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, I noticed that it was a Scott Martin. That's cool. Is the director, I think, yep. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's really cool. And it sounds, Union, it sounds like I would originally thought it was going to be like a Civil War type thing or something.
No, but it's about it's centered around a town called Union, West Virginia. So it's actually just interactions of this character in the town. And I'm interact with him. And in that, I play a storekeeper who's essentially the his daughter's father-in-law.
Oh.
Or not father-in-law, but stepdad.
Stepdad.
Yep. So, I mean, there's a little bit of tension between us, but there's no all-out brawl or anything like that. So it's...
Oh, damn. You didn't get to fight him?
No. I did do a short film not too long ago where I did have a fighting scene. So that was kind of fun. I haven't done a lot of fighting scenes before. So it's actually pretty fun.
Nice. Yeah, no, those are... more like the fight choreography is always kind of an interesting thing. Like, and I love stunts. Like, I love watching people do stunts. It's not as much fun watching, I guess, you know, because, you know, it takes a while. Like, the stunt doesn't, you know, happen as quickly as it looks on camera, you know, when they edit everything together.
But sometimes it does. I mean, I was worried about hitting someone because I don't want it to look fake or something. So I'd get really close, but I almost hit this guy, but like in the gut, but I think I stopped kind of short and I was just like, are you okay? Okay. But I don't want it to look fake. So it was interesting shoot.
I remember I was on set with somebody and they actually did hit somebody really hard, but they didn't, it just looked like they did. The guy did such a good job and he fell down and the girl looks over and goes, are you okay? And I was so mad she ruined the take. You know, like I was like, that was we did it like three or four times. Each time it looked fake. And I was like, all right, do it one more time. And she did it and it worked. And the dude fell on the ground, you know, right? And everything. And then she goes, oh, are you okay? And I was like, oh.
No. Gotta stay in the scene.
Gotta stay in the scene no matter what. Like, do the scene, get it done. When we say cut, come back. Oh my God, are you okay? Like, and I feel like actors need to learn that. I feel like if there's anything in this, you know, in this interview that actors should go away from, it's that you need to make sure that no matter what, you just finish the scene, then you can worry about whatever. Because I've done that before where I've messed up as an actor. On a movie that I was not directing, but I was acting in, but I wrote or co-wrote. I was supposed to die and I made the mistake of saying, I would like to die with my eyes open. Cause you know, I had the choice to have my eyes closed or open, you know, chose to do it open, you know? So my eys were open and they were panning, they were taking forever. And right when they got to the end, like apparently I blinked. And then DP was like, you blinked. And I was like, I mean, good God, you have your thing for like over a minute and something, you know, you're going to want to blink.
Yep. Been there. Yeah. I had a death scene and same thing where like, oh my God, I don't want, because I'm trying to keep my eyes like wide open and everything, and they start to get dry out, and you're just like concentrating with all your being to not blink, and then
not just blink, but like also not cry. Yeah, because when you keep your eyes open that much, your tear ducts want to start forming. So I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, whatever, you're, I get it, you get it. Most actors should understand, like, it's not easy, and a lot of people, I think a lot of people get into acting thinking this is going to be a piece of cake. I see people acting all the time, and the one thing that is beautiful is that actors are, a lot of actors are so good that they will that they'll confuse you. You'll think, you know, oh my God, that guy's so fucking good, right? And then they just make everything look just easy, you know. And that's the thing, they just make it look easy, but it ain't easy, you know.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. So thank you, Jason. How can people reach you? Do you have like a website or anything?
No website. No, so no, I have Instagram, Jason Allen Cook, or my Facebook page, actor Jason Allen Cook. So either, cool. Either way, through that. Yep.
So do you get a lot of work with social media?
No, I get more work through my agent than anything else. I mean, there's casting calls I see on social media, and I get stuff there, you know, but especially the commercial work, it's primarily through my agent.
Yeah, definitely. You know, God, I was about to say something again. I'm done. You know,
going back to that one.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Those gigs you're getting.
Yes.
Gigs. Yes, those things. Thank you so much. Everybody check out Jason's work, check out his IMDb. He's got a lot of stuff going on right now. So just look up Jason Allen Cook on IMDb, check out all the stuff that he's doing. As I said, some of those on Tubi. So people can go check out your work there.
On Amazon too. So yep.
Amazon, just look. I bet if we just look up your name on Amazon, it'll pop up.
Yeah, you can Google Jason Allen Cook, and you can find it at all as well. Jason Allen Cook, and you can find IMDb, Amazon, everything. I think the Haunting episode is on Amazon as well. Maybe I have to pay a couple bucks for it, but it's worth it.
Good. I think I saw it was on the Destination Unknown channel or something. So, you know, I don't know what that is. I guess it's new. But that sounds awesome. So thank you so much. Everybody check his work out and let us know what you guys think. All right.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
Very happy to have you on. We'll definitely have you back on to talk more when I'm sure you'll have more stuff coming out next year or so, you know. So
yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Bye.